Well, it is awesome that everybody else's mic was quiet and mine is like. It is awesome that God's love overflows to us and from us through other people. I'm not an expert on evangelism and spiritual conversations with people who don't know Jesus yet still make me nervous. But I get super excited about the opportunities to have them. And the passage that we're going to look at tonight from Colossians chapter 4, I think has helped me greatly. You may know that responsibility is a weight on my shoulders. I take things very seriously, and I always want to do them very well, and I want to do them the right way. And when given the task of sharing our faith with people, I definitely want to make sure that I'm doing it exactly the way I'm supposed to. And that just made it very stressful for a very long time. But this passage from Colossians chapter 4 helps us see it kind of brings us into this practical sense that the weight of the results are not on us. That's God's work. But we have this incredible opportunity to be called and equipped by God, to be his witnesses as his people, as the body of Christ, the very presence of Jesus in the world. That through us, Jesus even said, we are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. That through us, God is shining his light into the lives of other people. And we have the opportunity to sit down and have conversations with them about things that matter. And God's going to use that and work through us to do amazing things. So as Paul is wrapping up his letter to the Colossians, in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, he writes, 2 through 6, Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6, he writes, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you tonight and we thank you so much for your love. We thank you that you have rescued us and we don't deserve it. But by your grace and by your mercy, through faith in Jesus, you make us whole. You make us your very children. And you have a desire to have your family grow still. And so we pray that as we reflect on your words tonight, and we thank you for those as well, we pray that you would guide us, that you would inspire us, that you would direct us and even direct our thoughts, that we might have in our minds and on our hearts people in our circles of influence that you want to reach out to through us. And so we pray that you would guide and direct our conversation and our study tonight. And we pray that you'd be glorified in the midst of it and glorified in the results as we leave this place tonight as well. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we look at this passage, Paul, in the letter to the Colossians, has written incredibly beautiful descriptions of the wonder of who Jesus is, incredibly powerful instructions on what it means to follow after him, and dramatic descriptions of the power of God's grace to rescue us, as he describes our sin being nailed to the cross with Jesus and taken away. The powerful spiritual forces at work and at war as God has victory over the forces of evil. And so as he describes for us what it means that God has done these great things for us, and then describes for us what it means to be clothed in Christ and to have our identity shaped by him, and what it means to follow after him, as he begins to wrap up his letter to the Colossians, he gives them these instructions about this incredible privilege that we have to be God's light in the world. And so we're going to look at, the theme has been making room, and we've been making room for Jesus in our lives in lots of ways. But now Jesus is inviting us to make room for other people so that they can see him as well. And so we're going to talk about three ways we're invited to make room in this passage. And the first is that we make room for prayer. In these five verses that highlight this ministry and mission to which the Colossians and us are called to, three of the five verses focus on prayer. And that's super helpful in lots of ways. It helps us see that prayer is actually the first step in witnessing. And this exhortation to be prayerful, to be engaged in prayer, helps us kind of put things in balance as we think about our role as evangelists and witnesses. First, this invitation and this exhortation to pray reminds us that this is the Holy Spirit's work. This is God's mission. He's been on this mission since the beginning of human history, and it's his desire to reach people with the gospel and draw them into his family. And so we want to go to him because he's the one who has the power to change people's lives, change their hearts, change their attitudes. And so the Holy Spirit is the one who does the work. The Holy Spirit is the one who convicts people of truth and plants the seeds of faith in them. And so we pray because we rely on God for fruitful ministry. Second, we pray for ourselves. We pray for wisdom and openness. We want to be aware and sensitive to what God's Spirit is doing in us, where he's stirring us, where he's leading us, who we're in contact with. Because, you know, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 tells us that we don't think of anyone from a worldly perspective anymore. We used to even think about Jesus that way, it says, Paul writes. But he says, but no longer. Now we don't think of anyone from a worldly perspective. And so it's really easy for us to still fall into those worldly perspectives. You know, walking through the store, I'm not always the most spiritual person, at least not the most positively spiritual person, walking through Walmart. You know, I've got a task, and I want to get it done. And so I can really easily treat people like objects. You know, they're just in my way. And I need to move them to get my job done so I can get out of there and get home. We drive like that often. It's just really easy for us to forget the humanity of people and to just see them as labels that we put on them or things that are in our way. But we don't want to think about people in that worldly perspective anymore. And so we pray. We pray that God would help us to see people around us the way that he sees them. Because God rarely puts any of the people that we come in contact with in the same categories that we do. So we pray for ourselves. We pray for wisdom and openness. We want to be sensitive to God's Spirit. We want to recognize opportunities that he's creating for us. We pray that he would help us love people and understand their concerns, because some of them seem silly to us. And we pray that we would speak clearly, that as we have opportunity to engage them in conversation about spiritual things, that we would say things that make sense and that reveal the truth of who God is. And maybe more importantly, we pray that that as we speak, whatever the Holy Spirit compels us to say, that as they hear it, they would hear those things as the very words of God to invite them into relationship with Him. Third, we pray for each other. You know, in a lot of evangelism talks, we can feel the weight of the world on our shoulders. Like the world won't be reached unless we reach as many people as we possibly can. Maybe one a minute. Sometimes that's how it felt for me. But we pray for each other because we're in this together. This mission that's been given to us has been given to the body of Christ. That through the people of God all across the world, more people will be reached. And so certainly, there are unique opportunities and unique gifts that we've been given. There are people in my circle of influence that many of you will not come in contact with. But the same is true for you. And so we have personal responsibility and opportunity. At the same time, we pray for each other knowing that we're in this together. We want to do this corporately as a congregation. We want to do this corporately as a denomination. And we want to do this in partnership with all of God's people across the world. And we want to imagine the power and the scope of what these witnessing efforts can do across the globe as God's people are working together. So we pray for each other because we're not in this alone. We pray that God would fan into the flame the gifts that God has given each of us, and that those gifts would be complementary to each other, and that that would even maximize the benefit and the opportunities. And so we make room for prayer, and certainly we also pray for the people that we're trying to have conversations with. As I mentioned, we pray that we would be understanding of them, but we also pray that they'd be prepared. I sometimes pray that the Holy Spirit would just bombard them, that they would sense that God is whispering to them by name. And sometimes I ask that He wouldn't just be whispering, that He'd just shout it from the mountaintop. But as we engage in this role as God's witnesses, we want to make room to pray. Because through prayer, we acknowledge that we're dependent on God for this, and that it's a privilege that He's given us. It helps us put things in balance and perspective, humble ourselves before the Lord, and be open to where He's going to lead us. Second, we want to make room for outsiders. In verse 5, Paul writes, "Be wise in the way that you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity." And so as we think of making room for outsiders, we want to make room for them in our hearts. We want to have, like I said, one of the things that we pray about is that we would have the perspective of these people that God has. Because sometimes the things that they do, the things that they say, the way we perceive their behavior, we just don't really like them that much. And so it's really hard to engage them in open and honest and vulnerable conversation when we don't like them. And so we're praying that our hearts would change, that we would be able to see them as God sees them. It can be easy for us to categorize people, to judge them, to be condescending toward them, to think that their concerns are silly because they don't make sense to us. They see the world differently than we do. They live in a different way than we do sometimes. Sometimes the cultural difference, just the personal cultures that we have, can be a great divide in understanding one another. And yet, Scripture's clear. We're saved by the grace of God and nothing more. We're not better than anybody that we're trying to reach. Sometimes we feel smarter than them. Sometimes we feel better. But the truth is, we were as desperate as they are. And God broke through and rescued us. You know, in Titus chapter 3, there's this beautiful description of the gospel. And it starts by saying, you know, at one time, we too were malicious toward each other. Paul describes just the depravity that all of us faced on our own apart from Christ. At one time, all those things that we're disgusted by and displeased by in other people, those are true of us. We were lost too. But by the grace of God, he broke through. Not because we were good enough, not because we were righteous, but because he was loving and gracious and merciful. People need Jesus. And we want to treat them with dignity and respect so that they might get a glimpse of God's love for them. We want to make room for outsiders. We want to make room for them in our hearts. We want to make room for them in our lives. Because the best opportunities to have conversations with them is if they're people that we have conversations with. The way we treat people and the things that they observe in us as we live out our lives is a significant part of our witness. It's pre-evangelistic. It's the opportunity for them to see that we're shaped by the fact that God loves us. And that's a humbling and wonderful and celebratory thing. And if we can offer that to the people around us, to treat them with grace and patience and kindness, and that can be hard sometimes, especially when they kind of throw it back in our faces. But that's why we keep praying that God would give us strength to do that. Because when we can do that, they recognize that we do live in a way the world doesn't usually live. We want to make room for outsiders. We want to be humble and sincere in our approach to them, even as we're uncompromising on the truth and power of the gospel. It's important for us to recognize that making the most of every opportunity, as Paul describes it, is not the same as making an opportunity out of every moment. We don't always have to force it to happen. We can trust that God's at work and he's going to open the doors at the right time. Now, to be fair, as nervous as we can get about it, it can often feel like we're forcing it no matter what. Am I doing this right? Am I doing it wrong? But the point is, we can trust that God is going to lead us and open those doors, and we can try to open them, and sometimes they open, and sometimes they get shut. And we can trust that God's going to work, and we can continue to pray that he's going to continue the work to open those doors again. The responsibility, the weight of that is not on us. We can trust that God's going to lead us, and as we pray, he's going to stir in us and empower us and equip us, because the Holy Spirit wants to meet with these people. So we can trust the Spirit's leading. But we also want to live and speak in ways that create opportunities and that are sensitive to God's Spirit to recognize those opportunities as they appear. And we want to make room for spiritual conversations. Paul says, "Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." I think that's a beautiful picture. And I think it just kind of inspires me. I love having good conversations with people. And just kind of seeing floating ideas out there and seeing where they go. Giving testimony to what I've seen God do in my life. So that they have the opportunity to kind of dig in a little, and we have the opportunity to talk some more about that. Or to at least kind of just season it and stir the pot so that they've got something to think about. Oh, that's a little different than I imagined or expected. In order to communicate the gospel clearly, we may use a tract or a script that becomes comfortable for us. But in the midst of that tool, it's always a personal encounter, personal conversation. So we want to make sure that we're using those tools and those scripts in a way that helps connect the truth that they need to know with the realities of who they are and what we've learned about them and where they're living. Witnessing isn't something that we do in order to make God proud of us. It's something we do to help people be introduced to the God who made them and loves them. This God that they're estranged from. They have a broken relationship with the God who knows them, made them, and loves them. And we want to enter into that and help them find their way back. Paul writes, let your conversations always be full of grace. We want our conversations to be full of kindness and patience and grace, acknowledging that they're not better than we are, we're not better than they are, and we all trip over ourselves as we make it through life. But we have access to this truth that changes us, that can make us whole, that leads us to forgiveness. And they need it, whether they recognize it or not. And as we talk, in conversations full of grace but seasoned with salt, well-placed truth can make people thirsty. You know, the thing about salt, I think it's a fascinating illustration for us. We try to avoid salt for healthy diets these days, but still, salt helps enhance the flavor of our food, right? And so, as we experience salt in our food, it does make us thirsty. Sometimes we don't even recognize it till an hour later, and it's like, oh, my mouth is parched. What did I even eat? It was soup. I thought that was supposed to, like, replenish. But it's all liquid. But salt enhances the flavor of our food, and when it's just the right amount, it can just be wonderful. But if you spill too much in, all you taste is the salt. And you don't want to ever go back to that meal again. Well, not the same way you did the recipe, at least. And so it's important for us to recognize that if we try to overpower people with the truth that they're not ready for because we think they need it or because we just want to make sure we get it all out there, sometimes we end up pushing them away. But we want our conversations to be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that we're always leaving the door open for more conversation. And being sensitive to God's Spirit, because He's going to lead us to that opportunity when it's like, we've been talking for a while, like, do you believe this? Like, what's your hang up? What are the barriers? What are you waiting for? So we don't often fit the whole truth into every conversation. Few people are ready for that. When our conversations are full of grace and respect, seasoned with salt, we open the door for more. And as the Holy Spirit makes them thirsty, having those conversations with them becomes more natural. It becomes more part of the things that we talk about together. And that gives them greater opportunity to learn more about who Jesus is and discover more of him. Now, one thing I'll add that's not tied to Colossians, but it's just been really important for me, a struggle for me in lots of ways, is that it's really important for us to learn from one another because we approach this differently and we can learn lots of things from each other. Some of you have like evangelistic conversations daily, and that's awesome and inspiring to me, and I want to learn more from you about how you do that. And I want to celebrate what God does in the midst of that, and I want to pray for you. Some of us have long conversations over decades with people in our lives. And we're not seeing people come to Christ each week, but we feel like there's progress being made, and it's exciting to see the opportunities that God creates in those conversations and in those relationships. And so it's important for us to like learn from each other and encourage one another and pray for one another, but it's also important for us to not compare ourselves to other people. Because our personalities are different and the gifts that we've been given are different and the people in our lives are different. And we want to trust that God's going to lead us in just the right way with the people he's put in our lives. And we might learn things from other people that we might be able to try in our conversation that might be a stretch for us or might change the dynamics of our conversation in really positive ways. But it's important that we don't compare ourselves to one another like we're all supposed to be the same, because that's just not how God makes people. The greatest privilege we have, apart from knowing the God who made us and worshiping him, the greatest privilege we have is entering into people's lives. It's an incredible thing. When you think about your own life and the things that you feel vulnerable about and uncertain about, and whether it's any number of things, I quickly think of parenting. I think it's one of those things that exposes my weaknesses really well. And how much we want the best things for our kids, but they don't always believe that from us. When you think of all the things that we're worried about and embarrassed about, and you recognize that the people around us have those too, and they might not respond to them in the same way that we do. Sometimes they lash out and get angry about things, or they put up walls around them. Whatever it is, we all kind of react differently. But it's an incredible privilege to enter into people's lives. And rather than think of witnessing as this form that we need to learn and then just repeat it, it's been helpful for me to recognize that in lots of ways, this is just building relationships. It's being, letting people in on who we are and what we believe. Finding out where they're at and what they think. And then finding where the points of common ground are and where the points of difference are that we can start to have conversations and learn from each other. And as we learn from them, we also learn about them. And when we learn about them, God creates opportunities for us to move the gospel closer to their hearts. Not because they're projects, but because they're people who matter to us and who matter to God. And sometimes they matter to us only because they matter to God. We all have those people in our lives, but it's important for us to wonder and ask God, who are the people that you've placed in my life? It might be somebody at work or school that you're on the same team with them or in the same classes with them often. They might be people that you don't really get along with, but for some reason you're just always near each other. And God might be saying, you didn't think this is the person that would be a great opportunity for you, but I've got some things in mind. It might be somebody that you just had a great time with. You have all these shared experiences. Maybe you've never really figured out how to, you know, crawl into those spiritual conversations. We want to pray about that and see where God will lead. So devote yourselves to prayer, Paul writes. Pray for us. Pray for you. Pray for the people that we're talking to. Make room for outsiders. Be wise in the way that you live among them. Be wise in the way that you act toward them. Make the most of every opportunity. And let your conversations always be full of grace and seasoned with salt so that you can answer everyone. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you tonight. And there may be people on our hearts and minds right now that we just long for them to know you. There may be people in our lives that we haven't recognized. You're creating opportunities for us to point them to you. We pray that you'd stir in our hearts. We thank you that you are the God who saves. You rescued us. It's what you desire for us and for the people around us. We pray that you would do your work in and through us. In Jesus' name, amen.